Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
One gigantic vending machine.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Two of the biggest names in candy are getting together. This morning, Mars said it's buying Wrigley for almost $23 billion in cash. Mars makes M&Ms and Snickers. Wrigley, of course, sells gum and Lifesavers. Wrigley will be a standalone subsidiary, and Warren Buffett is buying a minority stake in it. Buffett says he understands Mars and Wrigley better than the balance sheets of most banks. Wrigley's share price shot up 25% out of the gate. Overall, stocks are down a little bit on Wall Street. The Dow has lost 21 points in the early going. It's at 12,870. The NASDAQ is down 4, and the S&P 500 is down 2. The Asian markets finished the day a fraction higher. European shares are up about 0.5% so far. Oil hit another record today, just south of $120 a barrel. Another commodity that keeps going up is rice. It's three times as expensive as it was a year ago. In this country, some stores are limiting the amount of rice people can buy. And the price hike is no fun for the restaurant business either. Ashley Milne-Tite reports from New York.
Restaurant owners in Manhattan's Little India district are swallowing a big increase in the cost of a 50-pound bag of basmati rice. Nitin Vyas is owner and manager of Madras Mahal.
We used to get $16, $18. Now we are paying almost like $36, $38.
Still, he hasn't changed his prices.
The reason is that there are a lot of the competition. To stay into the market and to stay into the business and to satisfy our customers, we haven't increased the price.
But David Selig has reached the tipping point. He owns four restaurants called Rice. He's about to introduce a 25% surcharge for a side of rice.
This may be long term. This may end up having to be a surcharge that becomes permanent.
He says it wasn't an easy decision.
People are very price sensitive, and our customers are particularly so. So it's very uncomfortable having to rise as much as we need to.
Still, with rice at record highs, it's a choice Selig can live with. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
The price of oil hit another all-time high this morning. It's right at $120 a barrel in European trading. A strike at a British oil refinery is partly to blame. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
A local dispute about pensions has helped push up the global price of crude. Workers at the Grangemouth refinery in Scotland walked out yesterday in a two-day strike over pension rights. The action caused a series of knock-on effects. BP depends on the refinery for power to run a key North Sea pipeline. That pipeline's now been closed temporarily. 700,000 barrels of oil a day have been lost. And that, says analyst Peter Kemp, has pushed up the all-important benchmark price of North Sea Brent crude.
Every other crude which is priced off Brent will ramp up accordingly. So it's a local problem which has global ripple effects.
A strike at Exxon facilities in Nigeria is putting similar upward pressure on oil prices. A further sign, says Kemp, of the febrile state of the oil market. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Monday, April 28th on Marketplace.org. There's an old Wall Street saying about trying to put lipstick on a pig. The question this week, is that Avon lipstick? Avon reports its quarterly profits, and the company might need some international help to make up for lost business here. Bob Moon has this report.
Avon calling.
In the face of the slowing U.S. economy, Avon is calling on Britain in a bid to boost its bottom line. For the first time in almost 30 years, it's launching a recruitment drive to build its force of door-to-door sales reps across the United Kingdom. The New York-based company is hoping to capitalize on its own more youthful image makeover featuring Reese Witherspoon.
Order exclusively from your Avon representative or online and say,
hello tomorrow.
Focusing on business abroad is a strategy that makes sense given the lopsided value of the U.S. dollar these days. Not that the economic picture is that much brighter in the U.K., but the discounted greenback might actually help Avon's appeal in harder times. The head of the company's U.K. operation says sales traditionally rise at times like these because customers who put off more expensive purchases still treat themselves to cosmetics. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Today in Washington, a Senate committee opens hearings on contracting abuse in Iraq. This committee doesn't have a whole lot of power, but its chairman hopes the rest of Congress will still be listening very closely. Steve Henn has more.
Senator Byron Dorgan, a Democrat from North Dakota, says examples of waste and fraud in Iraq are too numerous to count.
You know, in cost-plus contracts, waste doesn't matter to contractors. The more they get to buy, the more money they make. And we've had testimony that brand-new $85,000 trucks have been left beside the road to be torched because they didn't have a wrench to fix a flat tire. And the contractor says, doesn't matter, taxpayer will pay for this, we'll just buy another truck.
The hearing will feature whistleblowers who are accusing the defense contractor, KBR, of double billing the military to run a recreation center in Iraq. Dorgan says this is just one of thousands of examples of wasteful spending that together have cost taxpayers billions.
And I think that in recent years we have seen perhaps the greatest waste, fraud, and abuse this country has ever witnessed.
The Department of Justice declined to join a civil lawsuit against KBR alleging double billing in this case. The company declined to comment. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Every day, as many as 1,000 people from Zimbabwe illegally cross the border into South Africa. It's a careful calculation between poverty and certain danger. Gretchen Wilson reports border control agents are the least of their worries.
Zimbabweans who cross the bush into South Africa travel at night and take only the essentials, a little cash, some bread. They outwit leopards, lions, and crocodiles. Then come ditches and razor wire fences. But all that's the easy part. Migrants like 20-year-old Miraz Nawan say there are more dangerous predators.
It's too difficult to cross the bush.
They fear the Guma Guma, or criminal gangs. They're South Africans and Zimbabweans who maraud the bush to rob, assault, and sometimes kill immigrants making the journey.
To take money and the clothes and destroy my life.
Zimbabwe's poor take these risks to survive. 80% of Zimbabweans don't have a job. Widespread hunger is creating a flood of economic refugees. These are the poorest and most desperate people in the region, but they're also the easiest marks for criminal gangs. 17-year-old William heard he'd have to bribe the Guma Guma when he jumped the border last year.
Yeah, of course. They must be paid to Guma Gumas to allow me to cross here. Almost 50 rand.
He paid 50 rand, or about $7. That's more than the average monthly salary of a teacher. And the consequences of not having any money are dire.
If you don't have money, they kill you.
25-year-old Betty Chobo was pregnant when she crossed into South Africa with her brother and sister last year.
Yeah, I see the Guma Gumas, and then we start to run. After that, they beat us. They kill my brother and my sister, raped my sister.
Today, Betty works behind the counter in an informal corner store in the South African border town of Messina. She can feed her child here, which she says she wouldn't have been able to do in Zimbabwe. At the South Africa-Zimbabwe border, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
Often, are you really honest with your coworkers? Let's face it, there's a certain amount of BS that makes the workplace function. But the author of a new book thinks there should be less BS. Sam Colbert's new book is called Beyond Bullshit. Forgive me, but that's the title. There's an asterisk where the I should be. Colbert advocates something called straight talk. First, I asked him what he means by BS in the office.
Maybe the biggest source of baloney at work is people pretending that even though they live in a self-interested world, everything they're doing is driven by what's best for the organization. It's just like in the history of the world, no one has ever washed a rental car. In the history of the world, I don't think many people have intentionally advocated something as being good for the company that they hadn't first thought through as good for themselves.
Well, let me see if I can get an example here. Can you give me a couple of practical things that people can do right now at work to improve that communication?
Well, the first issue is, if you're talking with people, is make room for their viewpoint. By owning your ideas and using the first-person pronoun, I think, I feel, I believe, I see, that can reduce the chances of having hard-fought disputes because it leaves room for the other person to say, I see it differently.
If you have a meeting with your boss and ordinarily you might skirt around a certain issue, are you saying come straight out with it?
No. Not unless you've got the goods on your boss and you caught him with his hand in the cookie jar or something.
Right.
But that's not what you do. Look, straight talk is about a relationship where you really care about the other person's success and his or her general well-being. And it's not about getting rid of all the spin, but it's getting rid of the spin that has to do with deceit and illusion.
Yeah, I'm picking up on a theme here. Are you suggesting we need a little bit more humanity in the workplace? Compassion?
I think that's excellent, Scott, because what we're talking is not just about compassion. It's about facing up to human nature as it truly exists instead of pretending that people are not biased, that people are not emotional. And when there are more straight talk relationships amongst the people in the room, all work events sound different. They look different. There are few losers. It's a question of how can each of us make out okay and not do it at the expense of the company.
Sam Colbert, author of Beyond Bullshit, Straight Talk at Work. Thanks for your honesty.
Oh, Scott, that was good.
Feel free to share your thoughts with us at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.